News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Arwig, Sean Sullivan in for Dan Brennan.
Hey, good morning. A couple things I want to, as we get started with this hour, and of course, listening to you at 343-0106, 343-0106. You could call that by just pushing one button.
How's that, you Sean?
Glad you asked, Dalton. So the FM Talk 106.5 app has launched, and it's ready for you on in the iTunes or the Google Play Store. You go in there and search for, but do it, you have to do it this way. And search for FM Talk 106.5, like the whole string. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the letter F, the letter M, the T-A-L-K, and then the number 1065. No point between 6 and 5, because it confuses iTunes. So, FM Talk 106.5. Mm-hmm. Look for that app, and it'll pop up, free download. And it is, so number one, you could text the station, you can call the station, but that's like just the tip of the iceberg of what comes with this.
Yeah, so there's a bunch in the app, and I'm going to see if I can open it here, and I know we're on the air. Hopefully, we don't start to hear what we were doing 45 seconds ago through the, stream.
Yeah, and that's,
not
by the way,
45 seconds.
By the way, the stream is there, so when you open up your phone, you can get the audio right there on your phone of the station wherever you go.
Yeah, so I'm excited, and honestly, I told you yesterday, Sean, even a little nervous about the launch of this app.
You've worked very hard on this.
Yeah, we've been working on it, and what you can check out there is the schedule for shows that are on the way. It's a really easy interface for listening to or downloading podcasts that we have. Every single of the 55 live and local hours on this radio station, you can download the podcast there. A live traffic map at the top right of the page, also weather there as well. And we even have feeds from our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and local news headlines all right there on the very front of the app. And like Sean said, there's the call studio button, message studio button, and a number of different things there as well. So I like the
alarm thing too.
That's right. Yeah.
If you want to, you know, hit the alarm, it's one of the choices there, and then the alarm could be set to open up to FM Talk 106.5. So, you know, you use your phone as your alarm clock. I do. Mm-hmm. You can do that feature there with it, and like we said, with our social media stories listed here, you're also getting a news feed because Leanna's putting stuff up on Facebook and all that. So what's changing during the day, news stories and all that are popping up on your app. And like Dalton said, the traffic feature, weather feature on there as well. So check it out. And podcast, if you're like, hey, I'm driving down the road, maybe I'm outside the range of the station, but I want to check out Jeff Poor's show from yesterday or whatever it is, then you just hit the podcast there on the front page. You can go pick your podcast and play it right there. So go to, if you're an Apple user, go to the iTunes store and look for FM Talk 106.5.
And what you said yesterday, I think I wholeheartedly agree with, as you launched this yesterday afternoon, that we aren't, you know, we aren't like your normal radio station, normal TV station. It's almost like a town hall every day. And if you download it and use it, let us know what you like about the app, what you don't like about the app, because this thing's pretty customizable. And, if one person wants something different, we're not going to shift it. But if there's a pretty overwhelming agreement among everyone, you know, we'll definitely look into it. But I'm certainly excited about it. We've been beta testing this for a month, 2 months, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, we use it a whole bunch ourselves. It's easy to navigate. And like Dalton saying, like I said yesterday, we're a local company. You know, all of us here, I mean, from all steps, it's not like, well, this is a local franchise. It's a local company, right? FM Talk 106.5, Bigler Broadcasting. We're right here at Airport and 65. All the folks work here. The app, you know, is our app. So you have, it's not like it's coming from some boilerplate and, you know, San Bernardino, California, or something like that. We can make those adjustments and do that. So we're real proud of it. I want you to download it, check it out over the weekend, during the week, enjoy this thing. So it's our newest offering because we want to make it available to you. What we do here at FM Talk 106.5, 55 hours a week of live local programming. Want to make it available to you wherever you go. So yeah, you could stream us through the app. You can listen to us over the air. You can stream us through the website. You can do all these different things. You can interact with us on the telephone, the text line, the voice messages, all that. So, you know, we're just wanting to be there for you. The way you use our radio station, make it easier for you to do that. So yes. The app is the next part of that.
And one more time, search for Google Play or iTunes, FM Talk 106.5, and you can space it out. You can put it all together. Just don't put the decimal place in there because iTunes, for as smart as these smartphones are, Not quite smart enough.
Same thing for Google Play if you're an old Luddite Android user like myself.
Yeah, so. No doubt. Hey, we're getting texts about this. Jim says, already downloaded the app. Pretty cool. But I missed the semi-regionally famous 2-point weekend weather scale. I got to know. Well, Jim, you're in luck. It was a 1.7310 from Dr. Bill and Sheila, the closest guest this morning. And
that'll show up on the app, too, in the Facebook feed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That'll be on the app before
the
too
Instagram.
Long. Josh says, Town Hall. I think of 106.5 as more of a neighborhood bar. And you know what? You're exactly right, Josh.
That's probably more accurate.
For certain shows like Mobile Mornings, and I don't know. I'm not going to put anyone else in there, but definitely more of a bar-like feel. And then we have other shows where it's definitely more of a town hall. So appreciate the text of those of you who have already downloaded the app, and hopefully you're able to check it out today if you haven't yet. So I guess the biggest political news in the state yesterday, as far as Alabama is concerned, is Senator Richard Shelby endorsing Katie Britt, which was expected.
And he had already done that, kind of. I mean, he had already done that before. He actually announced his endorsement for her before she announced she was running, because that's been like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess this is the first endorsement announcement since she officially announced her run. And there was an interview, and Politico had it, so now the rest of the country finding out about this. But it was expected, right? Because she worked with him and for him for years. She was the chief of staff of his office from 2016 till 2018, even was the press aide for Senator Shelby earlier in his career. But I've already noticed, and I'm not sure that this is exactly what Shelby or Trump's intentions were necessarily here, but it's being promoted as Shelby
versus Trump.
Going directly against Trump. Mm-hmm. And that might end up being what the case kind of is. We saw that back in 2017 when Trump endorsed Roy Moore and Shelby declined to endorse Roy Moore. But I don't think that's what's happening here. I think Shelby, you know, he knows Katie Boyd Britt. It was kind of like the succession plan, it seemed, from the Shelby camp. And what we've seen over these last few years is Congressman Mo Brooks firmly encamped in Team Trump. Almost more than any other congressman, once you take January 6th and his invite to speak there at the Capitol and all of that into account. So I think what you have here are just two notable names, former President Trump and Senator Shelby, just endorsing the candidates that fit their mold.
Right. Okay. Let me ask you this. I think this is a fair question. If somebody who's, speaking out against Shelby, promoting Katie Britt, right? What would you have him do?
Yeah.
I think Mo Brooks has all the horsepower in the world in this race. She was worked for Shelby for a long time at the highest levels, right? She then was running BCA here in Alabama. Do you think Shelby would turn around and not endorse her and endorse Mo Brooks, not somebody that came up through his office? So it maybe it's not anti-Mo Brooks, but what would you have him? Of course he's going to endorse Katie Britt.
Exactly.
It seems logical on that side.
And this sets up not just this race, but a lot of battles between Trump and the Republican establishment. Actually, Trump spoke yesterday, and we'll get into that with more Mobile Mornings on the way. FM Talk 106.5. 820 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Sean, you had...
Yes.
The master turkey callers on.
Yeah, so Kenny and Kenneth Weiss were on. So the World Championship Turkey Calling Contest today and tomorrow here in Mobile, and where it started in 1940, and it came back 2 years ago, and then we had the COVID year last year. It's back this year, and it's going to be at the Convention Center. You've got the turkey calling. If you go online, you can look at more details, but you get the turkey calling going on today and tomorrow. You have different divisions for ages and different types. You have friction calls and kind of the open call side. It's a lot of fun. I mean, even if you're not into this, go check out. These are like the masters of their crafts. These are like the first chair at the you know, Boston Philharmonic. I mean, these are like the best of the turkey callers out there, and they've come from all over the country right here, and they're competing today and tomorrow. So something to check out. And if you want to see like the a little more in-depth dive and listen to that, check out our podcast page now. You say you go to fmtalk1065.com and go to the podcast tab. Mm-hmm. You can do that. You can subscribe at iTunes and Stitcher, you know, and TuneIn Radio and Spotify and Deezer and all the other platforms. And get our 55 hours a week of live shows that are in podcast form there. But also the brand new app that mm-hmm. people are downloading here, which I think is very cool. The people who download the app, you can check this out by going to iTunes or Google Play, and you can download the app and get our podcast through that as well.
Yes, you certainly can. And, you know, I don't want to tell them how to do their thing at the Turkey Calling Championship, but I think an amateur, like someone who's never made a turkey call before, I think maybe an amateur class would be very fun to watch. Like, just watch people.
Just give them like a mouth call and let them try it, or just a box call.
Yeah,
or something.
Let it rip.
But yeah, so if you want to go back, if you'll go in any of those platforms and just search for our Turkey Calling Contest interview with Kenny and Kenneth Weiss, you can go hear the interview. It was from last week, and that event going on today and tomorrow downtown. Very, so cool stuff.
Very easy.
All right,
to find.
I'm just off. Just had to get on that soapbox for a second.
So we were talking a little bit about the upcoming battles for a number of different midterm races, and where Trump will, you know, battle sometimes against the mainstream. I don't even want to call it mainstream anymore, but the Republican establishment going at it with Trump with some of these endorsements. Yesterday, Republican Study Committee Chairman Jim Banks and members of the Conservative Caucus's leadership team met with former President Trump in Bedminster. They met in, Bedminster. I don't know where Bedminster is. That Ohio? No, I don't know. Bedminster. They didn't put a state here.
Isn't there
but
Bedminster,
sure,
New York?
That must be it. But they met
New Jersey. No, there's in New Jersey. Bedminster in New Jersey. There may be some elsewhere, but there's a Bedminster, New Jersey.
Okay. Well, that's not the biggest part of the story.
It's no T-neck New Jersey, but it's
certainly not. They discussed their policy agenda and path to the majority in 2023. 10 of the Republican Study Committee's members, including task force chairs and members of the group steering committee, attended the gathering. And Jim Banks, Republican Study Committee chairman, is the one giving this information out there. He said they laid out their policy vision, which was modeled after Trump's agenda while he was in office. So you start to see some of these teams coming together, the Republican Study Committee and the Conservative Caucus's leadership team there. They said he said, we spent nearly 2 hours with the president, who's in great spirits. We talked for most of the time about the work that the Republican Study Committee is doing to define the agenda for the future course of the Republican Party, which is fighting for the Trump agenda. We talked about our election integrity bill, the Save Democracy Act, which he was very supportive of, and we talked about what we've done to define immigration moving forward. They said Congressman Banks has looked to expand the study committee's role in the House GOP's messaging efforts, attempting to offer contrasting policy proposals to the Biden administration ahead of the next election cycle. And according to one source, Trump referred to the Indiana Republican as the new type of leader we need in the party. So this to me signals Trump getting more involved in the upcoming midterms. We already saw it with a couple endorsements, and Congressman Mo Brooks being one of those. And we also saw Mitch McConnell speaking yesterday. I think he was asked by somebody whether he planned to go to endorse some of the same people that Trump endorsed, and he kind of laughed it off or gave a snide comment. So could you also say the midterms will be a battle between Trump and McConnell as much as the actual individual races?
Yeah, to some degree. They're asking for former President Trump to stay out of these primaries and only come in the general and doing that. He's not going to do that. But there is a question out there, and this is, you have to almost move on from this kind of cult of personality around former President Trump to a strategy one. And when I say this, I don't know what the right answer is yet. I don't. But who is the Republican who can win? Right. And, you know, we've often said that when people will look at like a Republican running in the Northeast and they'll say, Sean, that guy's like a liberal. I said, stop. It is the most conservative person that can get elected is who you go with, who can get elected. So you have a different kind of candidate in an Alabama than you do in a New Jersey, right? Yeah, Republican that can win in California would be a Democrat sometimes in Alabama.
Oh, no doubt.
To some degree. So that's the strategy of it. And this question is, where is the party going in the midterms? Now, you have the discussion of the House and Senate races, but you also have the bigger question here of, is President Trump, former President Trump, going to come back in 2024? And if he is, then you probably do want to have some commonality going through the primary system if you believe he's going to win in 2024. But if you don't, are you re-strategizing? Now, you can argue that McConnell and a lot of them missed it in 2016. They thought, you know, they thought it was not the right way to go. But it was President Trump who made his way through a huge field. Remember how many people were in the Republican primary?
It was like 18 or something like that.
Republicans were making fun of the Democrats in their primary last time. I went, hold on a second. Hold on a second. It was real crowded in the Republican side, too. And Donald J. Trump went through that whole line. I mean, that is like one of those, it's like a Bruce Lee movie. You've had to beat this, pop, pop, pop. You have to go through the line to get there. When they didn't think he could do it, and he did in 2016.
And he started with the favorite, Jeb Bush, going into that cycle.
Correct. Now, in this cycle, you would say, well, he lost. So why is that brand going to win in 22?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen another brand yet that garners more support. It may come. This is the thing. I don't close my eyes to saying, because like Cameron Smith will be on with me. He starts talking about how the Republican Party needs to go a different way to win. It's almost like a what offense are you going to run in a football game kind of thing, and people can disagree about that, but it's an okay discussion. There are people, I think, that feel when that discussion happens, it is sometimes, they think it's like anti-Trump. No, it's a realistic discussion.
Yeah.
If you want the most conservative person to win, most conservative person that can win to be the candidate and win in those states, it's a fair discussion to have. And remember, sometimes you have to take ourselves out of what the politics of Alabama are and look at other state races and go, what kind of person can win in that purplish state or light red state, you know, or light blue state? And that's the part of this that's not cheering and getting fired up. This is the strategy. This is the cold science of politics. And that's what's being worked out right now.
I also wonder if there's going to be a major voting hangover, because I've said that, you know, President Trump got more people involved in the voting process than anyone. And that's both for and against him, voting for or not for President Trump. And I think when you look at these midterms coming up, that a lot of these people who were all fired up to go out and vote in these last presidential elections and so many of the races that were down ballot from the presidential race, I just think a lot of them aren't going to show up. And the big deal is, will it be more Democrats that don't show up to the polls, which we've seen in the past with a lot of the younger generation, or will Republicans feel burnt by these past elections?
Interesting. So you won't get the turnout without that kind of candidate. Pretty savvy thought process.
That'll be interesting to see.
By the way, thanks, y'all. The people are downloading the app and telling us about it and enjoying it. It means a lot. It's like we got a new kid around here or something like that. Yeah. So we're proud of our baby. So thank you.
Very proud. Hey, let's talk about that critical race theory discussion when we get back. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. All right. Starting the last half hour of Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Right now, time to talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios, and a chance this weekend to check out some trucks from McConnell, but not on the McConnell lot. What are you doing, Louie?
That's right. We're taking some trucks down to the Hunt Show down there at the convention center, so there'll be a few trucks down there. Go down and check those out. Of course, we're going to be open to the dealership. Man, we got some beautiful AT4 3/4 ton white sitting there for sale. It's used. It's going to be certified. Great deal on it. Check all the certified GMs out on McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141. Looks like it's going to be a nice weekend. Everybody's going to be out running around. So, come on by on Dolphin Street. Beautiful Dolphin Street, I should say, and check us out.
All right, good stuff. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him on, and you'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. Don't forget to check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. 838 FM Talk 106.5. And one of our three big things this morning deals with critical race theory. Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing a lot about this phrase, critical race theory, especially over the last year, you know, since since the riots began last summer, I would say, is when this really started to become more widely known. And I've never known specifically what it's about. Kind of what I've always heard about it and known about it. Yeah. Basically, the New York Post has a pretty good primer here.
Yeah, and I want to point out, too, that the this is coming to states near you. I mean, Florida has their Board of Education yesterday approved a rule that effectively bans critical race theory in their schools. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about Representative Chris Pringle's pre-filed bill to do that here in Alabama.
So
that's where we're going with this.
If you looked at the most popular books, like on the New York Times top sellers list, mm-hmm. or iTunes, iBookstore, whatever mm-hmm. you may be, over the last, certainly last summer, the top books were all like How to Be an Anti-Racist. That's probably the most popular. This one by Ibram Kendi is his name. Mm-hmm. And the book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. And it basically that and so many of these other books and interviews and stuff dealing with this, with the Black Lives Matter and everything, is that white people need to
not just be racist,
but to admit that because of their skin color, that they are inherently privileged, and because of that, they owe it to people of color to what would be the best phrase to understand it, to admit their shortcomings and basically, you know, roll out the red carpet to whoever. And what we've been discussing it here forever, but it's almost like to be anti-racist, you have to be racist in a way.
I agree with that. This discussion of equity versus equality. Mm-hmm. But I want to get into okay, here's something I take from this, and I know you got this New York Post primer, but one of the things that stands out to me, and if you'll go online, one of the tough things is finding a clean delineation of what critical race theory is. It's tough to find an unimpassioned, a nonpartisan mm-hmm. listing, because if you Google, you're going to see one side tells you it's the best thing since sliced bread, the other side tells you it's the most horrible thing.
Right.
And you may end up with one of those opinions or somewhere in between, but to start, you need to find what it is. And the things that have stood out to me, and I'll say that, and I am no expert in this, but I've read about this, and critical race theory, it depends on race being the most important consideration in American life. And so if you hear that, then that kind of, the way this is being presented, you now understand. If critical race theory says race is the most important thing in American life, and that is, I know there's a bunch of different tenets and all that, we can go through it, but that's like a core philosophy of this. Mm-hmm. That's the touchstone of this. And that's a question you have to ask yourself. Do you think that race is the most important part of American life? And that's going to be different for different folks, you know, their reaction to that. Now, there's a whole bunch of goings-on that come with this, and we're going to talk about this, and what we're trying to keep out of schools and all that. But that is like, if I was trying to find one thing to take out, say, what is this view? What is critical race theory? Is that race is more important than anything else mm-hmm. in American life? And, do you agree with that or disagree with that?
And there's an argument, I think, that's already begun from the left when they see states like Florida banning it and states like Alabama talking about it. They say, well, it's not even happening yet. Like, there's no one even, but it is. And there's stories of parents in California mm-hmm. who are like checking in on their children doing homework, and they're having assignments where they're supposed to, write out all of the ways that probably one of the more kind assignments of all of them is to label the ways that they are privileged by being white. And there's all kinds of, you know, assignments like that and things that are being taught in the schools where you're exactly right, Sean, where race is the number one factor in a person's life.
It's more important than anything else.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway from this. I disagree with it.
And I saw one person comment about critical race theory, and I wish I could attribute it. I can't remember who it was exactly, but they basically said critical race theory is cultural Marxism dressed up in an anti-racist language? Because who's going to go out and say, I'm against being anti-racist? Like, it's coded there in the language, anti-racist. You would, if no one had ever heard of that term before or know that it was a loaded term,
yeah, well, sure.
If I just came to you 30 years ago, Sean, and said, hey, are you an anti-racist? You'd be like, yeah. Well, yeah, sure. And I think most people with a good head on their shoulders would say the same. But when you use that term to as an entire movement that isn't really, you know, it doesn't abide by the label.
Right.
You know, if you're judging a book by the cover, the anti-racist book cover is not what's inside the book.
Right. But because anti-racist now is defined differently as than not being racist.
Right.
It's an extra level. And we should talk about bigotry versus racism, but whatever term we're using right now, it is not enough to not be, the way I understand this, and like I said, this is a subject that a lot of people have different opinions on. To me, the way I understand what I have read, it's not enough to not be racist, not be a bigot.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make amends or something to that effect for something that has happened in the past in this country. And that's kind of what my thought, it's not about the now as much as it's about the yesterday and the future.
Right. That's kind of, yeah, I agree completely. And you kind of see it, you know, well, you do see it in the Biden administration. And we were making fun of the press secretary at the very beginning, and she might still be doing it, but anytime she was asked a policy question and how a certain portion of the administration was handling something or the other, it always first went to either sex or race mm-hmm. of the person in charge. It was never about their actual, you know, exactly. accomplishments or anything like that.
Those were like the fourth paragraph down.
Yeah, and that's basically what this critical race theory is. It's like, first off, what race are you? Before mm-hmm. you tell me your name or anything like that. And I just, maybe it's idealistic. I don't think it is. But all I could think of are, you know, little girls and boys. And now I've got two little girls. I would certainly not, you know, bring them up in any sort form of racist fashion. And I'm just thinking of all these kids, and I'm closer to, you know, the younger generation than, mm-hmm. than a lot of people.
Bill Vogie like me.
I grew up, you know, when I was in Tennessee, grew up with black kids, white kids, Asian kids.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice, and I know this is just a, you know, a lot of people say this, but I didn't notice race when I was 5, 6, 7, 8. I noticed they were different colors than me, but it wasn't like a...
Now, the flip side is the person who I don't trust is a person like, I don't see any different races. Well, of course you do. People have different skin color, different body features. Those people who say, I don't see any difference. Come on.
Right. And
the question is, do you treat them differently or do you not give somebody the same ability to be your friend or whatever based on something like that? Now, that's different. That's bigotry.
And I didn't know, and I think that the vast majority of American children and teenagers, you know, until you get into all of the, you know, propaganda spreading, I think a majority of the children in America are the exact same way. And it's not a don't see race thing, but it's a... They don't know that anyone's supposed to be treated any differently than any other person. And you see a kid that's a different race than you, and they're just Johnny, or they're just, mm-hmm. you know, Sarah, whatever their name is, that's who they are. You don't like them because they're a jerk, or mm-hmm. you don't like them because of this reason or that reason. And to bring this teaching into schools is almost undoing work that's been put in for decades and decades and decades in America. And that's why I really appreciate that some politicians out there are saying, no, we're not going to let this anywhere near our state.
You know, like Terry says on the text line, race being the most important seems to be the basis of racism. And Terry, you're right. I think as you look at, you know how it's funny, if you look at like political charts, as you get extreme left and extreme right, they actually come around together and agree on some things. You know what I'm saying? This kind of, as you go to the extreme levels, somebody who says that race is the most important thing, like that is their most important part of them, if they're saying that from critical race theory, it does at least have echoes of what white supremacist nationalists do, where they don't have a personality. The personality is not important. They're white.
Right.
They're European. I mean,
it's in, you could see it in the segregation, right?
Yes.
Because even before the summer riots last year, there were colleges where, you know, black people only allowed in here. Yeah. This is the black person safe zone. This is the Asian person safe zone. And they would yell and kick and scream when people that weren't of the correct race would enter their zone in the library or whatever.
Which
it is
not separating people and putting people in certain camps is not what brings us together.
Right.
The idea that we all live in this world together, so we all should have the classes together. We all should have, because we're all Americans. Just be with other folks.
Exactly.
When we come back from the break, I want to talk about this and what the bill looks like, a pre-filed bill here in Alabama by Representative Chris Pringle. He will be on with Jeff Poore today at 9:30 talking more about this. So that's on the way. And hopefully I'll have Representative Pringle in next week on the Midday Show as well.
That'll be good. Don't forget, FM Talk 106.5 now available in the iTunes and Google Play App Store. Search for it. Don't put the decimal in there. You'll see our logo and go ahead and download that bad boy. More Mobile Mornings on the way. Thank you, Kane. 8:53 FM Talk 106.5. Wrapping it up on this Friday morning for Mobile Mornings. Coming up on the Jeff Poore Show. Sean mentioned it just a minute ago, but State Representative from right here in Mobile, Chris Pringle, will be on. I'm sure to talk about this critical race theory bill, which we'll get into here in just a second. In the 10 o'clock hour, Jeff, as he refers to him, the returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, joins the show. And then the third hour of the show, Sonny Brassfeld from the Association of County Commissions of Alabama, and then April Marie Fogle of Alabama Today will join the show. So you don't want to miss the Jeff Poore Show coming up in just minutes. So this critical race theory thing, we kind of tried to explain what we understand from critical race theory just a moment ago. But this all leads to yesterday a meeting with the Alabama State Board of Education where they discussed proposed resolutions against critical race theory instruction. One of the resolutions that was given to the board originated with the help of Governor Kay Ivey's office, and they have pretty much come out firmly in the camp of not having critical race theory taught in Alabama public schools. And Representative Pringle has pre-filed a bill that would prevent public schools from teaching or training K through 12 and college students in, quote, divisive concepts. According to a draft of the bill, those concepts include, quote, that this state or the United States is fundamentally racist or sexist, and, quote, that an individual by virtue of his or her race or sex is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. Pringle says critical race theory will not be taught in the state of Alabama, period. So that's what will be discussed, I'm sure, coming up.
And hopefully on Monday as well on Midday Mobile. From the text line here, content of character is what matters and living by the golden rule. Whoever you are, unnamed texter, preach. I agree. Larry says, at Atmore, never judge anybody by their skin color, religion, or sexual orientation. Judge them by the contents of their record collection. Well, there's something to be said for that. That is one place that I music taste of. This texture says CRT replaces character over color with melanin over merit. John says racism comes from the non-white more often than not. To have to apologize for being a certain race is a lot of S word. So I want to continue to look through this and the different, I mean, there's different parts of this that you can pick off and say, okay, that's ridiculous. But one of the things that is standing out as that core tenet that the most important thing
is what race you are. Yeah.
And I just, and I know I'm speaking on this as a white dude, but that's so contrary to how I see the world that, and I understand there's going to be people who have different opinions and offer different thought ideas for this, but for me, that's like you said, it's working backwards.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. It's working back.
You know, I'm famous for my desire to put burkas into politics. If you're just listening, just joining the show, you'll be like, Sean supports burkas. I do. I want to put everybody who runs for office in a burqa,
mm-hmm.
and give them a number and not a name, and do that 60-minute voice, you know, where they...
So anyway, I was going
right,
around
yes.
the street.
So everybody sounds the same. And then they just talk about ideas and policies and their politics and their ideas for the nation or the city or the county or wherever they're running. And then at the end of it, you take off the burqa. Big reveal. They're, you know, it's a black woman, it's a white dude, it's an Asian man, it's a, you know, Native mm-hmm. American woman, whatever it is.
A turtle.
Yeah, it's whatever it is. You voted for ideas.
Yeah.
And not for what somebody looks like. That's why I want burqas brought into the system. Which, watch the headlines, will be Sullivan supports Sharia law and purpose.
Well, I already knew you supported Sharia law.
Big time.
So that just that goes ahead and proves it. This last text here, we can get into, I think all the race hoopla has been exaggerated by white and black people who are using it for their personal benefit, either for political reasons, money, or trying to look good to God. That's Sam who sent that text, and we appreciate that. And all the other texts that you've sent this morning, and I think that wraps it up for Mobile Mornings here on FM Talk 106.5.
Make sure you got a second here during the day. You stop down and download the FM Talk 106.5 app. If you got your Apple user, go to iTunes. Your Google user, Android user, go to the Google Play Store. Free on both platforms. Make sure you look for FM Talk 106.5. No point between the 6 and 5 because it messes them up. So just 106.5. So just search for FM Talk 106.5, that app, download it, and let her rip.
Yeah, let her rip, and then let us know what you think about it. The text line, 343-0106, which you can text from the app. So time is a flat circle, right?
That's something like that. And by the way, a first hour of Midday Mobile today will be a best of. We've got a thing to do with the radio station, but I'll be back at 1 o'clock live here on Midday Mobile. Jeff is coming up next.
I'll be back Monday morning at 6.
Me too.
FM Talk 106. And Sean.